industry or interested in fitness in Austin at all, you have heard his name. He is an entrepreneur, husband, and father. His wife, Kristen, is here with him today. And he has an idea for you that's so simple that even a child could do it. And to prove it, he brought his kids with him today. Ladies and gentlemen, Scott York, please.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate that, Michael. I don't know about the legend part. I appreciate that. Following Bill Phillips, that's a tough act to follow, but we'll give it a best shot. Thank you. Thank you, Artemis. Artemis is going to be taking action while we're talking here, and a few of you guys want to do the same thing from some of the tips we're going to give you. Fine. We want you to do that. So come on up here, guys. Get up here in the front. This is Dalton. He's 11. They're that way. This is Vaughn, and this is Jackson. So what we want to talk about is creating recurring income using three steps. And it's such an easy process that these guys have been doing it for 3 years. Okay? Everybody's got a hobby. And as I'm talking about this, I want you to think about what your hobby is and how you could plug your hobby into the three steps that we're going to talk about. So about 3 years ago, because I'm in the fitness industry and fitness is visual, I videotape in order to market my business. People that might want to join my fitness business, they want to see what our training is all about. So I was videotaping the boys. This is fun, guys. Lighten up. It's okay. It's all right. There's D. Wallace right there.
Hi.
So I'm videotaping the boys as they're opening their Christmas presents about 3 years ago. Because I'm in the fitness industry, it's important for me to have video so that I can show potential clients what my training is about. So I'm practicing with my smartphone videotaping. And none of this was planned. It was just, let's just videotape them. Christmas time, I'm sure you guys do the same thing. We uploaded the videos to YouTube. I have a few YouTube channels, so I knew the power of YouTube. I wanted to upload these three or four short videos, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, to YouTube so that, you know, someday when they get older, I can embarrass them in front of their girlfriend, their wives, whatever. Hey, here they are playing with their trucks. They're just finding that out right now. So a few months go by, I go back to the YouTube channel because you want to make sure that your channel is not overrun with spam. How many people have YouTube channels right now? Okay, so Artemis, there's Artemis again. Hey, you're going to hear that name a lot, guys. He may be up here next year talking. So I want to make sure the video channel is not overrun by spam. And lo and behold, these three or four short YouTube videos have thousands of views. And that blew my mind. I wasn't expecting that. I was thinking 10 views, 15 views, mostly them, you know, watching their own videos. So as a parent, it made me pause and say, okay, let me think about why they have thousands of views. That's my fourth son, by the way. What's happening here is that the parent, and you parents are going to understand what I'm saying, they're giving the kids their smartphone, their tablet, their laptop, and they're saying, hey, I need 5 minutes to eat, to do whatever. So here, take my phone, and you can have it for 5 or 10 minutes. Some of you guys are nodding your heads. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, I'll take that back now. So these kids out there around the world, and be thinking of YouTube as not just the United States, but, you know, this is big, big business globally. Kids are out there watching these toy truck videos. And so immediately, I monetized the videos. You guys that have YouTube channels, how many of you guys have monetized your videos? So not as many. There's Artemis. Not as many. I would encourage you, and if you want to get started right now while I'm talking, you got your laptop, your tablet, by all means, go ahead. I monetized the videos because I mentioned I have three other channels in the fitness industry that are making money from YouTube fitness-related videos. What number is YouTube in terms of search engine? What number? Right. What's number one?
Google.
Right. So people are going on YouTube and they're typing in toy trucks. And that's what the kids were doing when the parents gave the kid the laptop, the phone, whatever. Okay. So we started making more videos. We said, cha-ching. All right. Fast forward to today. The channel name is Garbage Trucks Rule. The green shirt right here has the name there. And they have 1.2 million video views on their channel. Now, in terms of YouTube, that's a drop in the bucket. But it's enough to make them up to $300 a month, every month, for 3 years. And that's what they're doing right now from these videos. The most popular video is 30 seconds long. I am not a professional videographer, but because I am an entrepreneur, my awareness is on, and I'm aware that he's fussing, and I'm also aware that, you know, there's a lot of opportunities out there. So the most popular video has 600,000 views, and it's only a 30-second video. So the number one way that they're making money is from YouTube revenue. Every month, they get a check. It goes right into their bank account. And then my wife and I have the opportunity to teach them to save, to give, and to spend. There's two other ways that they make money. One of the ways is from Amazon. We took a week and wrote an Amazon book called The Little Lost Garbage Truck. How many people have heard of Fiverr.com besides Artemis? Okay, a lot of you guys. Well, Fiverr, for those of you that have not, F-I-V-E-R-R.com. It's a place where you can get stuff done for $5. If it's a more complicated task, then it may cost you $10, $15. So I had somebody write the basic book for me on Fiverr. Sometimes it's better. I'm not a writer. I enjoy writing. I'm learning writing, thanks to Joe back there. I understand the power of writing. So I hired somebody to write a book. Once I got the book back, I started to tweak it a little bit, and we ended up with The Little Lost Garbage Truck. It's a children's book. It's 30 pages or less, and we had some illustrations also done from Fiverr. It sells for 99 cents. And it sells regularly. It took us a week to do that. So as I'm speaking about this, think of your hobby and how you might be able to do this same thing. Monetize your videos, go on Fiverr, have somebody write a book, at least get you started, and then you can come in and finish it, or you could just have them finish the whole thing. We've noticed that it sells primarily on the weekends. It's a children's book. So my guess, I don't know this for sure, but my guess is that, you know, weekend, Saturday night, Sunday night, the parents are buying this 99-cent book so that they can get their kids to sleep, get them calmed down. It's another stream of income, so that's number two. Number three are shirts. So I went on Fiverr, there's that word again, and I had an illustrator create three graphics. The first one says, "Garbage is my business." The second one is Feed the Machine, and the third one says Garbage Trucks Rule. So, is security in here somewhere? Security. So these shirts sell, and the great thing about YouTube is that there's something called annotations. So as the video is playing, you advertise your Kindle book, and I think the wording says 99 cents, now available on Amazon, The Little Lost Garbage Truck, click here. Same thing with the shirts. How many people have heard of Spreadshirt.com? Okay, so one person. I'm surprised. It's not Artemis this time.
You need two people.
So Spreadshirt is free, and that's one word, Spreadshirt.com. It's free to join, and you can upload your graphic to Spreadshirt, and then when you advertise the shirt on YouTube, when you get a sale, you get an email alert on your phone, and Spreadshirt ships the shirt for you to the customer. So you don't have to buy a bunch of inventory. And there's the third stream of income. So that's the three-step process, and that's what they've been doing for 3 years now. The other day we were driving to school. It was right before Halloween. They're in the car, and they say, when are we going to get our YouTube money? That is a common question, and they know that they get their money right around the end of the month. It goes right into the bank account, and then, you know, we divvy it up. They spend it as fast as they get it, and I tell them, okay, well, let's make more money. Then perhaps you don't have to, you know, run out of money. You'll have more money. So I say, okay, well, let's think about that for a minute. I use this as a teaching opportunity. How about writing another book? The Little Lost Garbage Truck's Halloween Adventure, or The Little Lost Garbage Truck's Holiday Adventure. I started the storyline for them. I said, imagine the garbage truck is driving through the neighborhood in the morning. It's still dark outside, and through the trees, they see the witch stirring her cauldron. The garbage truck, you know, starts getting a little bit scared. And then the creative juices came on, and we started to plot out the storyline. So they got excited. So that's something that we'll do over the holidays, the Christmas break. We'll come up with another book. There's another revenue stream.
Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Thanksgiving as well. Okay, so those are the three steps. And this is a proven business model that's been productive for them for 3 years. So I want you guys to think of a hobby, and I'm going to give you a few seconds. I want you to shout something out, and we're going to test this theory by plugging your hobby into this template. And we're going to walk through the process and finish up this whole talk by doing that. So I'm going to take a few seconds. If you don't yell something out, I'll just come up with something myself. Give me a hobby. What was it? Disc golf. Okay. Does everybody know what disc golf is? Here in Austin, go ahead. Tell us. So it's a combination of golf and frisbee,
yes.
Right? And are you from Austin?
Yes.
Okay. So I know that that is a very popular activity here in Austin. So... That's excellent, because it's a fitness activity, and fitness is visual. Do you have a YouTube channel? Okay. Well, if you got your laptop, start, you know, going right now. Here, I want to give you a few tips, because, you know, this is going to pay off for you, and I'm going to give you some tips to speed up the process, things that I've learned from trial and error. Number one, I'm going to put her on the spot. What's your name?
Karma.
Love that name. What would you name your YouTube channel? Just off the top of your head, do you have an idea? Excellent. She said Disc Golf World. You guys, you could go over there, and if you want to go ahead and go with Nana, that's fine. The circus has left town. Yeah. Okay, so Disc Golf World. What is the advantage of naming your channel Disc Golf World as opposed to 7x34659? Right, searchable. If you go on YouTube, you'll see a lot of channels named whatever I just said. Disc Golf World is a very strong organic search term. Google is number one, YouTube is number two. When people go on YouTube, they're going to type in Disc Golf, right? So Disc Golf is going to come up. Google's always changing, I understand, but I still think that's a very strong organic phrase. When you see a whole list of Disc Golf YouTube channels, what's going to stand out? Disc Golf World or something that's not as organic? So that's number one. Be thinking about the name of your YouTube channel and give it a good name. Having said that, Google Plus is doing a lot of crazy stuff right now. I'm not going to get into that, but still, name your channel something organic that's easy to search. Okay, so let's start making videos. Do you have a smartphone, Karma? Does it have a video camera? Okay, so show me, pretend like you're filming us right now. Do you have your camera? Okay, well just hold up your hands as if you were filming us right now. You guys look at her, how she's holding the camera. If you don't want to turn, I'm going to hold it like this. She's holding it side to side and wide. If you ever watch America's Funniest Home Videos, you'll see funny videos, but you'll also see videos that were not filmed very well. So my tip is, if you're going to do this, and I think you should, hold your camera wide. That's what they say on America's Funniest Home Videos. They say, viewer, Audience, submit your video to America's Funniest Home Videos. Be sure it's side to side and wide. So that's your tip in terms of that. Number two, make sure you have good lighting. Turn the lights on. Open up the blinds. Let the light come in. You don't need to have professional lights. Most cameras have built-in features that will enhance your video. Number three, hold the camera still so that it's not shaking. So if I'm filming Disc Golf World, I'm going to make sure that if I'm filming, I'm holding my camera steady. I'm outside, right? Are there indoor Disc Golf World? Okay, they're all outside. So chances are you're going to have good lighting. I'm going to make sure that I'm holding the camera steady. Number four, keep it short. How long did I say the most popular garbage truck video in length of time was? 30 seconds. So people have short attention spans. I see a couple of you yawning right now. Michael raised his hand, but he was telling me I got 5 minutes left. People's attention spans are short. I've tried longer videos, and I believe that for their purposes anyway, the short videos are better. So those would be my four tips. Let's go through them again. Hold the camera wide, hold it steady, have good light, and keep the video short. So I would practice with my videos. A lot of these cameras, the phones, have one button upload to YouTube. So you might experiment with that. I would not worry about editing, etc. Just get it up on YouTube. Okay, so the next thing with Disc Golf World would be, how about a book? How about if I want to learn? A lot of people had not heard of Disc Golf before. Karma, I'm going to ask you one more time. If I were a beginner and I wanted to know about disc golf, tell me the 3 to 5 benefits of disc golf. Why do I want to play? Athletic outside makes her happy. It's fun. And camaraderie. That's right. Are there teams where teams play against each other, or is it more of a solo? Excuse me. Okay, so that's what I would think in terms of a book. Have you been on Amazon before to see if there are books on disc golf? Write that down, Kristen. When you learn this entrepreneurial stuff, that's how your mind starts thinking. Joe steals my ideas all the time, or tries to. That's how this stuff works. I mean, we've done it already with the garbage truck template. So really, this whole thing is a three-step process. The basic three steps. Okay, we talked about YouTube. We talked about writing a book on disc golf. You could even write a kid's book. In fact, I think writing a children's book is better for us just because it's easier to write. You have more leeway, you know, to screw up. And you can get it up there faster. So it's only 20 pages, the book that we have. And by the way, I knew I was holding this for a reason. This is the cover. I know not all of you can see that. It's dancing around. This is the cover of the Little Lost Garbage Truck. So, you know, it's bright. It's got good colors. It stands out. And then when you scroll through, you see pictures like on every other page or so, etc. So with disc golf, that's the same concept. Maybe write a children's book on disc golf. You could write a how-to book on disc golf, how to get started. The third thing would be shirts. Are there a lot of shirts out there for discs? There already are. So Disc Golf World might be a good shirt illustration. Disc Golf World. And maybe get them in different languages because you're using the word world, right? Because Spreadshirt sells all around the world. So why not go global? So I've got about a minute left, guys, and I want to know if you guys have any questions at this point. Yes, sir. Good question. Well, anybody can monetize videos on YouTube now. You used to have to earn a partnership, but now they've spread the wealth, so to speak. So when you go into YouTube, you'll see the step-by-step instructions on how to monetize your videos. It's basically just a check mark and asking you, do you want to monetize the video? Yes, check here. Make sure you don't use illegal music. Make sure you don't use illegal graphics, pictures, etc. Absolutely. The question was, would you do two separate channels, one for garbage trucks, one's for disc golf? Yes, that's my recommendation. Anybody else have a question? We got 0 seconds left. Good question. Did you guys hear that up here? Where can you get inexpensive? There's quite a few sites out there. I would first of all say Google that. That's probably going to get you a lot of answers. Secondly, the Commons, that name stands out to me. I know I use them. Flickr, have you guys heard of Flickr before? It's an offshoot of Yahoo. You can go on Flickr and find stuff. But I think the main thing is just go on Google and search for images that are legal for you, to non-copyright images. Spreadshirt takes a percentage. And the way it works for us is the shirts sell for $20, maybe $15. We have some little onesies also that are a little bit less than that. We try to get a $5 commission off of each shirt. I know Spreadshirt takes something, but I'm embarrassed to say I don't know what it is. You know, as long as they're making a little bit of profit, then that's fine. So they make $5 a shirt. And you can adjust that if you want to make $10 a shirt or $15 or whatever. And they have a whole line of clothing. It's pretty amazing. It's not just shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, purses, coffee cups, etc. All right, I see Joe pacing back there. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. We're going to hang around for a little bit. I know you guys want to eat lunch. I lost one of my kids. I'll go find him. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Michael. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Okay, a couple of announcements. Oh, also, one of the sites the guy asked about, the one we use in the magazine a lot, is called Fotolia, F-O-T-O-L-I-A. So just Google in non-royalty or non-copyrighted images, and there's a wealth of them out there where you can get them for, you know, pennies. F-O-T-O-L-I-A. Doodah, doodah. Okay, to recap, if you need a ride to the airport or you want to offer somebody a ride to the airport, rendezvous back there in the back at Joe's table. You have a Miracles Coaching Program form in your packet. If you fill those out, and you'll know it because it says Miracles Coaching Program on it, leave it back there at the desk with either Suzanne or Zion. Lunch will be served from noon to 1. We'd like to be here ready to rock and roll at 1:30 with our first presenter of the afternoon. We've got some more magazines, some of which has Joe's smiling face on the front that we'll have up front when you come back from lunch. Enjoy your lunch, and I'll see you all at 1:30. We'll kill a little time here with a couple more announcements. Remember, there are people that are conferring with each other as far as rides back to the airport. So during the breaks, you might want to meet back at one of the tables. Anybody here that needs a ride to, wants to give a ride to the airport? Anybody right now? Okay. We're on the downhill run now. We're going to build up some speed and go crashing out into the world. Hey, volunteers, you want to holler at the folks out in the lobby out there and tell them we're ready to rock and roll? Can you hear me back there?
That's a silly question to ask people who can't hear you.
Hey, sound guys. Well, you're right. They didn't even hear me. Would you tell the... And would you tell the... Would you tell the sound guys? Sound guys, they say they can't hear me back there. Can you hear me? Okay. Like you would say yes if you couldn't. Yeah, Mercury goes out of retrograde tomorrow. Everybody know? Yeah, yeah. A round of applause from everybody. Know about Mercury in retrograde?
Okay.
But 3 or 4 times a year, because of the relative orbit of the Earth, the Sun, and the Moon, it appears as though the planet Mercury is moving backwards in the sky. This isn't, by the way, this is a bonus class. They say that Mercury at that point is in retrograde. Now, if you recall, Mercury was like the winged messenger of the gods, the guy with the sandals. So anything involving communications or electronics communications tends to go haywire for about 3 weeks. It explains everything, doesn't it? Yeah. It started October 21st, and it ends Monday, November 11th. Now, there's a little kind of a weird you know, backlash where it has to go back to where it was when it started. Now, what you want to do while Mercury is in retrograde is just kind of chill, relax. You know, don't start any grandiose new projects. Get everything rolling and underway ahead of time. If there's any unfinished business, kind of, you know, and just relax and kind of go with the flow, which usually lasts for about 48 hours before you're completely crazy because your cell phone doesn't work, you know, computer, you know. So, here, yes, ma'am.
You know what else is going on this weekend?
What's going on this week?
Three meteor showers.
There were three, not one, not two, but count them, three meteor showers. Okay, So here's my proposal for Mercury in retrograde. Now, bear with me on this. It sounds a little violent right at first, but it has a good ending. My proposal is that we take all the nukes on the planet, all the nuclear devices, assemble them into one giant missile, and just blow it right into the sun. Nobody can live there. It's too hot. You know, gravity will be off for a little bit. We'll get used to that. We would have the added side benefit of nuclear disarmament, possibly world peace. Beauty queens would have to have something other than world peace to wish for, but I think it's a small price to pay. So, you know, if y'all see the campaign to nuke Mercury, you know, that's just, yeah, that's just what we do in this country. We try to negotiate. If that didn't work, nuke them.
Yeah. I love Mercury.
All right. You get to steer the nuke. How we doing? We getting back in? Any other announcements? If you haven't turned in your Miracles Life coaching card, please do that at the back table. If you have not turned in your form that's on the yellow thing in your pamphlet for Bob Wachich program, please turn that. Thank you. Please turn that in the little box with the yellow form on it. I'd like to make a couple of introductions. Actually, Austin All Natural has really utilized a lot of people in the local community, and we're really grateful for their support. And I have a few of my clients here today that also do articles in the magazine. Bart Sharp, for instance. Stand up, Bart. Bart is a life coach, counselor, shaman, and was in a former lifetime, was a black blues guitarist.
Yeah.
He told me at lunch. And president of the Holistic Chamber of Commerce, which is, so if you're interested, if you're a holistic practitioner in Austin and you would like a networking opportunity with events, including a Christmas party on December 7th, where they're going to have just like the coolest surprise Santa Claus you've ever seen, riding in on a Harley Davidson. It's going to be new age, hipster, it's kind of evolving into a pimp Santa, so be careful what you tell people. So I've found this hat. Bruce Grether, where are you? Bruce, stand up.
Yay, Bruce.
Bruce is the creator of the Stardust Tarot and a prolific author in his own right, and he has a monthly article in the magazine. Narissa, where is the lovely and talented Narissa? Oh, out in the hall. Okay, the lovely and talented Narissa out in the hall. Sasha, are you here? Ashtara? Hey, the lovely and talented Narissa, who's our food sensitivity authority in the magazine, foodpowers.com, right? And she does a regular article in the magazine as well. Who else is here? Am I missing anybody? Beth, are you here? No. Ashtara? Where's Ashtara? Where's Ashtara? Ashtara Sasha White, who I saw at lunch, and she does a regular column, Dear Ashtara, in the magazine that's priceless. Yeah. And let's see, Daniel Barrett has been in the magazine. He's presenting later. I'm going to be introducing him. Did I miss anybody? And, of course, the record for cover boy on the magazine. Recognize this guy? Said, And the cap says, Hotel Vitale. And he was really at the Hotel Vitale when this was taken. So there are copies of some of the magazines featuring Joe's smiling face and articles by and about him out in the lobby out there, a number about his CDs and the story behind those, which are pretty good. He hired some of the best musicians around to help him record his first CDs, including a drummer who's worked with, what, Neil Young and Bonnie Raitt and a whole bunch of people, and whose name happens to be Joe Vitale. So who would have thought it? Where's my notes? Okay, now this next presenter, you will probably, the only reason you would really resonate with what this next presenter has to say, if you've ever been ever broken up from a relationship or been divorced, probably nobody here, right? Yeah. It creates a mess, generally. I mean, yeah, there's such thing as an amicable divorce, I suppose, but it's messy. So what our next presenter did is figure out how to turn a mess into a message. And she's not Daniel Barrett. Pardon me for a moment. Y'all can, like, text or something for just a second. I've been doing this all weekend. People will come up and talk to me. I put my notes down, and then I forget them. Oh, well. Laurie Anderson has been in the field of psychology for a good part of 20 years. She is a life coach. She is a counselor. She has been on radio, television, in films. She has a new book out called Divorce with Grace, subtitled A Book of Hope and Healing. And it's how to get rid of those last traces of bitterness, resentment, the things that can come. Even though you're smiling and saying, yes, I'm over it all, any residue of that is going to come back and be nipping at your heels, and we all know it. So the grace process is a 5-step process to help you deal with that. This is her new book. She has available in the back. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Laurie Anderson.
Hi! Everybody up! Let's dance! Celebrate! Woo! All right, on your feet!
Celebration!
Woo!
This is your celebration!
Yes! He said he doesn't know how to dance. Woo! Let's dance, right? Life is a celebration.
We gon' celebrate your party with you.
Come on. Yeah? You gonna come up?
All
right, who else is coming up?
Have a good time.
Come on. You come up? Come on.
We gon' celebrate and have a good time. That's good. Metabolize that lunch you just had.
Keep your body for life.
Let's all celebrate and have a good time. Yeah,
yeah. Woo! Okay, is everyone's energy up? Are you ready for this afternoon?
It's time to come together. It's
yes.
Up to you.
Lift that energy back up. I see some. Okay, up.
Come on now.
All right.
Come on. Let's celebrate.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Good. Thank you. All right. I thought we'd start with that because life is a celebration, isn't it? Yes? Very good. Listen, I just want to thank you all because over this weekend, I have felt nothing but an abundance of love here. Who has been feeling that? Wonderful. So I would like you to take a moment and turn to someone next to you on both sides and look deeply into their eyes and just say, you are beautiful and you are loved. Doesn't that feel great? So today I was asked to talk about turning your mess into your message and your pain into profit. And first of all, are we okay on sound? Am I too loud? So, Justin, we just had an intimate moment because I don't have any place to clip my pack. So, okay, so we're all good? Good. Okay, so who here has ever experienced pain? Raise your hand. And I'm talking great pain, like moan and groan and get the Kleenex out kind of pain. Yes? Yes. Well, you know, we are all, I've heard it's been said that we are all connected as human beings by pain and by love. We've all experienced those. We can all identify with those emotions. And the difference is we all have our own unique pain and our own unique stories. And what really matters is what you choose to do with that pain. What are you going to do with it? How can you take your mess and make it into your message? And Joe has been a dear friend and mentor of mine for several years, and he has seen me go through my greatest pain, which was a divorce. I was married to my high school sweetheart. We have two beautiful sons, and we had a wonderful marriage for quite a while. We were together for 21 years total between high school and dating and marriage and so forth, and we had our whole life planned out. We were going to be married for happily ever after, and we were going to be together, you know, at 90 years old, sitting together on the front porch swing, looking at each other's, you know, aging hands while they were embraced. And that was the plan. And then life threw a curveball, and it just, you know, kind of the dark side kind of came in, and we tried to work all of that out, and went to, you know, counselors and retreats and read every book because I just so badly wanted to save our marriage. And ultimately, one of the therapists, you know, said to me, well, he surmised that, you know, what it looks like it is that your husband is likely either on drugs, having an affair, or a psychological condition. And he said, the way he's treating you, choosing to treat you, is really humanly impossible to take. So I had to then just really let go and accept the fact that it really would be healthiest to go on and live our separate lives. And I don't mean to say that in an ugly way about my ex-husband, because in this very moment, I am sending him love and grace, and I wish him all the best. That just happened to be my experience. And even though I knew it was healthiest to move on, I have to tell you that it was so incredibly painful. It was the most excruciating pain I'd ever felt, and I cried for myself, I cried for my children and my family. It was horrific. So my life turned upside down, and I'd noticed so many people who had been through a divorce, and some for many years, who were still holding on to the pain and only living half a life. And I knew I did not want that for me. So I set out on a quest. I set out on a quest for healing, and I wanted to find the best ways that I could just heal this pain and move on to my most extraordinary life. So I set out on a journey, both internally and externally, and I had some very amazing and profound experiences. I traveled to Sedona, Arizona, and had a very spiritual experience in the vortex there. And I also drove up to Fairfield, Iowa. Is anyone familiar with Fairfield, Iowa, Maharishi and Transcendental Meditation? So that was one of the places I ventured off to. And then internally, you know, I did a lot of healing exercises and learned a lot of techniques and went to therapy and read a lot of books and meditation and Ho'oponopono and many methods to heal. And I decided, you know, I'm going to take my mess. And I just really felt the calling to write this book and to share it, because I know that pain, and I want to help people who are going through it. I want to take their hand and guide them through this process to get onto the other side where your life is so amazing again. And this, my personal book is developed off of the five steps of grace. Thank you, Justin. So for grace, these are the five steps to really heal and release and ultimately thrive. So G is for grieve, and, you know, really go into the pain so that you can really feel it and deal with it so you can heal it. And then release, just really go through it. There are so many techniques available to really release the pain. You can journal, you can have a spiritual divorce ceremony like I did. You can, of course, go to therapy and read and several wonderful techniques. And then allow is, once you've healed and released, now allow the good to gush into your life. There is so much good waiting for you, and you just need to give yourself permission and take it and go somewhere amazing with it. Like, I love what Joe says. He's like, how good can you stand it? How good can you stand it? Allow the good to gush into your life. And then create your whole new life by design. And E is evolve. So what were the gifts in this? How have you become a better person? How can you serve others? And so this is my personal story of my pain, but I want you to consider a pain that you've experienced in your own life. And think, what if you took your catastrophe and turned it into what Joe calls a benestrophe? Something that is so wonderful, amazing. Turn it into something so great that benefits so many people. So I just want you to take a moment and think about your own personal situation and a pain that you've had in your life. It could have been recent. It could have been from childhood. And just consider that, because, you know, the truth of the matter is some of the best poetry and music has come from great pain. And really some of the biggest and greatest changes to our society have been birthed out of pain. So if you'll just take a moment and consider, what is a pain that you've had in your life, and just write it down. What's an experience you've had? It could be relationships. It could have been with health. It could have been with a career. It could have been a financial situation. So just look around. There are so many examples of that. So if we just consider Joe's story, you know, his pain. As you all know, he was living in poverty, and at one point he was homeless, and he has taken that very deep pain that you've experienced, and you turned it into something amazing. I mean, you took that pain, you've created Operation Yes for the homeless, and you've created wealth. And look what you've created. Look at, we're all here today. 50 books, many seminars. Let's give it up for Joe. That is awesome. Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much. You know, look at Oprah Winfrey. So her pain as a child, she was neglected and abused, and she didn't have a voice. And now she has a voice. Consider Dr. Dale Capener, who is here today. At age 18, he almost died. He was so sick, and doctors could not figure out what was wrong with him. And he went from doctor to doctor and felt like he was just being shuffled around like a number. And he thought, you know what? I can do a better job of this because I want to become a doctor and be very compassionate and caring and help heal people. So he turned his pain into something wonderful as well. So think about that, what it is for you. And now I want to first address, before we go on to the next aspect of it, is just last weekend I was in San Diego for a conference called the Hidden Riches Conference, and Marsha Weider shared a very important point. And she said, don't tell your story while you're still bleeding. Heal your heart first. So that's very important. Whatever that pain is that you've had in your life, that you can turn into something wonderful, make sure that you have healed that first. And I realized that the steps... Yes, thank you. It's don't tell your story while you're still bleeding. Heal your heart first. You're welcome. And I realized that the five steps of grace that I have in my book can really ultimately help serve in healing all kinds of pains that you've experienced, not only divorce. So just, you can take that process with you of just really grieve, release it, allow the good to gush in, create your whole new life or your mission, your message, and then evolve. How can you serve? And also something to consider too is when you are thinking about your pain, or maybe you felt betrayed, or someone really screwed you. It's just, you know, anytime you think of it and you have those bitter feelings, just send them love and light and then drop it. Send them love and light and then drop it. And raise that vibration. So I just want to switch gears here now and consider what your passions are. So let's go to the other extreme, something really wonderful. Your passion says, anyone here heard of the passion test? Great, okay. So I'm a passion test facilitator, and I take people through the passion test, and it helps you get, it's a step-by-step proven process that helps you get really crystal clear on what your deepest passions are. And we've heard a lot here this weekend about how important it is to do what you love and connect to your passions. Oprah always talks about how important it is that you connect to your passions. And in fact, Donald Trump, I recently watched him on a TV show, and it was called Inside the Mind of a Billionaire. And he was asked by the host, what is the key to success? And his answer was, connect to your passions. Do what you're passionate about. So I thought, what if you took a pain you've experienced in your life, and then you connect it to one of your passions. So consider, what are your passions in life? What do you love to do? Joe loves to write books, so he took his pain, he married it with his passion, and created something amazing. So consider for a moment, does everyone know kind of what their passions are? Yes? Okay. Anyone not? Yeah, maybe some. Okay. Well, if you would just take a moment, and I'll just you know, just take a moment right now. Let's just take a deep breath and then close your eyes. And I want you to think about what is it that when you think about it and you talk about it, that it just lights you up? What would you be doing that you would love so much that you couldn't wait to get out of bed in the morning? What is that for you? What lights up your heart? Okay, now write that down. So imagine, what if you connected the two? You brought them together, that pain and that passion. And I want you to pair up with someone next to you, and I want you to share what those two things are and just have a little brainstorm session of what is it that you could do that would combine those two. Because when you bring those two together, that is a nexus point. That is the power. That is you speaking your truth and taking your experience in life and connecting it to something that you love to do, and what better way to serve the world. Okay? So if you would just connect with someone right now and share what that is for you and proclaim it. Yeah. Can I have Mike? A runner, I mean. Because I'm going to ask. Okay, if you'll just go back to your seat. This is great. I love to hear all this buzz. There's a lot going on. I see a little emotion too. Who would like to share? Who would like to share their pain and their passion and how they come together? Who would like to come up and share? Okay. What did you discover?
Well, one of the things in my life was that after my first divorce, I actually was homeless for about 24 hours. And what I learned from that, the pain, the suffering, and everything that came along with that was very, very stressful. And I've learned over the years to be able to take that stress and to be able to turn it around so that I don't have stress in my life anymore. And what I'd love to do is to be able to teach that to other people so that they can get a hold of that stress and find a way to really grab it and get rid of it, because stress will kill you.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Here, I'd like to give you a copy of my book. Thank you. Who else would like to share? Yes? This is a doctor who was giving me a little laser treatment before I got on stage. Dr. Feelgood.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was in Austin 3.5 years, and when I first got here, it was wonderful. And then something happened physically, which I wasn't aware, and it was two molecules in my body that didn't produce a certain type of bile. So for 3.5 years, I was depressed, clinically depressed, like the lights were off, like one little beam. And I would become enriched when I would come to groups like this, because I was helping others. So helping others, I could have the charge to stay awake. Otherwise, I'd go to yoga and fall asleep on the way home. And then in Austin, I met a gentleman, and I found out what those two molecules were. And now, it's like the lights are on, and the performing's back. And now the joy to be able to sing and dance and be me and to co-empower. Isn't that a great word?
Yeah.
Codependent. Let's co-empower each other and ourselves. So it's to take that horrible pain, enough where I wanted to take my life many times, to now know that, hey, I know what that's like, and we can co-empower each other. So that's...
Love it.
And we can sing.
And
I wanted
sing.
To do this. Ready?
What? Oh, my gosh. Okay, that's a first. Can I give you my book?
Would
you
like? I would love your book.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. I'd like one more example, please, and I'd like someone, please, from the Austin area or who could be in Austin on December 7th. Who would like to have a free pass to my Passion Test workshop, Discover Your Passions and Unleash Your Amazing Potential. Look at, he took action. Awesome. You see that?
The December 7th was too far to resist, so here I am.
Okay. Great. Will you please share what you discovered?
I had a great loss in my life with someone I loved. And I went into a journey of really discovering my shadow with that. Mm. And what emerged is a love to connect to God consciousness within my body, whether that be in my heart or my second chakra or my solar plexus, just learning what that energy is. So I work with energetic transformations with people and help them facilitate that openness.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, well, I think my time is about up, but I want to just, in closing, share this beautiful quote. Every single thing that has ever happened in your life is preparing you for a moment that is yet to come. So I invite you to consider taking a pain that has happened, that you've experienced in your life, that has come to serve you in your highest good, and to combine that with a passion that you have and really go out there and make magic. Thank you so much for your time. God bless you.
Are we rolling? Oh, good. You know, I was thinking we need to dance, and we did. So that was good. That was good. Somebody finally got around to that. A couple of the other people I wanted to introduce came in during the break. Ashtara, are you here? Sasha Ashtara White, stand up, raise your hand. She is a regular monthly feature, does a column called Dear Ashtara, and does all manners of classes and events in Austin. Matt Furman, please stand up. Seen a lot of y'all talking to him this weekend. He owns the Tao of Health and has a feature article in this month's magazine as well. A very unique approach to fitness that combines Qigong, martial arts, old-time strongman stuff. Really cool. Thank you. And then where's Kevin and Carol? Kevin and Carol, stand up. Kevin Johnson, Carol, the owners of the Zero Gravity Institute. A completely new concept in flotation, a flotation suite, and they just opened up. You can actually go and float in water and be completely and totally free of gravity. They have a massage chair that you have to go to this place. They're on Manchac Road right off of South Lamar. They just opened up, and it just really will completely open up everything about your entire life. Zero Gravity Institute. It's great. And they're in the magazine as well. So all these folks are in the magazine. Everybody's in the magazine. Why, thank you. Okay, so what if something goes wrong? You know, what if you decide to start a business like these folks did and it doesn't work? You know, what if you take the chance and, you know, talk to that good-looking stranger and you get shot down? What if, what if, what if? What if all these bad things happen? Well, you know what? What if it all went right? Which happens to be the title of a book by Mindy Odlin, who is our next presenter. What if it all went right? What if it worked? What if you talk to that person and they've been sitting over there wanting to talk to you? What if you start that business and people go, cool, I've been really waiting for this all along? What would you do then? Mindy is the executive director and spiritual leader for Spirituality Today TV. It's a positive, practical spiritual movement streaming live each Sunday from Fort Worth. We might be on the air via Google Hangouts. She's the author of this book and is the creator of the What If Up Club and has a DVD as well. And before launching her Spirituality Hangouts, she hosted an online radio program, The Leading Edge, where she interviewed many of the greatest spiritual leaders of our time, Deepak Chopra, Eckhart Tolle, Byron Katie, and, of course, Joe Vitale. And she currently lives in Fort Worth with her husband, Sean, daughter, Jenna, and their rescue dog. Please welcome Mindy Odlin.
Oh, what if you come all the way to Austin to speak and then you lose your voice? Wouldn't that be just awful? But what if that actually became an amazing opportunity? So how many of you have had just an amazing weekend so far? Yes? Me too. How many of you have received far more than you ever imagined out of this time together? Yeah. So I come in Friday night, and suddenly I arrive, and it's like, whoa, where did my voice go? So I go to the meet and greet, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to stay for a little bit. And first person I meet is Michael, who's done an amazing job, hasn't he, this whole weekend? So this is a community where you can show up at a cocktail party, meet someone for the first time, and they can say, do you mind if I massage your lymph nodes? And I can say, yes, that would be great. That's the kind of community that this is. So, yeah. How many of you, I've been in the back and I've been very quiet, which is really hard for me. And, of course, I see that there's positive in everything. So as I've been in the back, I've been watching. And today, I mean, yesterday I had nothing. Like, lips move, air comes out, and there's no voice whatsoever. This morning I wake up, I'm like, oh, I can speak, but it's still kind of soft. So, you know, I'm like, what is that about? What does that mean? And to me, I was thinking, you know, there's the wisdom. How many of you have seen a speaker up here and the wisdom just almost knocks you over? You know, like, that's what I was here to hear. Sometimes wisdom is like that, but sometimes wisdom whispers. You know, sometimes wisdom whispers. And so that's what this weekend has been for me, is about, you know, normally I'm the big high energy, let's celebrate and dance, and, you know, the divorced woman is more energetic than me today, you know? But maybe what if here and now I serve a different purpose? And what if what's meant for all of us at this time is to remember to listen to the whisper? And to remember that abundance comes as much as it comes from the joy and the excitement and the doing, that abundance also comes from the being and the centeredness. So I'm reading this book called How God Changes Your Brain. And it's interesting because no matter what your religion is, spirituality, spiritual experiences activate the same part of your brain, no matter what your religious experience may be. And I found in this book, there's a lot of really great tips, but here's three really fast things that you can do just like that to activate the part of your brain that can hear the whisper. All right, so here's the first one. Oh, you're doing the third one. Like, wait, don't get ahead of me. So the first one, all right, so just kind of take a deep breath in and smile. Ah. And now, with a smile on your face, turn it and look at someone like you're smiling at them. Pretend like you're smiling at them. Go ahead, try it. Boom, just like that. You wake up that part of the brain that you can hear the whisper. Smiling, something as simple as smiling. And here's the cool thing. You don't have to be happy. If you smile, smiling is contagious in every culture on the planet, more so with women. So the cool thing about a smile, and take this, listen to this, like from the spiritual principle underneath this. If you don't feel the smile, but you give it, it's contagious. So what happens? Someone smiles back. It's contagious. So what happens? It becomes real, right? So you give first, and it comes back. And you can remember that every time you smile, right? So that's the first one, really, really easy. The second one is also very easy, and it's something you can do, you know, when you're at work, when you're in the car, anytime you feel like you might need to be listening to that whisper a little bit. And it's simply relaxing. So relaxing not in a, like, go to sleep relax, but relaxing in sense of, if you think about right now, think about your toes and curl up your toes really, really, really tight. And then release them. That kind of relax. And then take your leg muscles and just clench them up really, really, really tight, really, really tight, and then release them. Feels good? And then your back and your shoulders, take all those muscles, clench them up really, really, really tight, and then release them. And your hands, take your hands, make them into fists really, 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 really tight, and then release them. And here's the one that's really funny. Take your face and squinch it up really, 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 really tight, and then look at someone and laugh at them. No, don't do that. And then release and relax. That's good. You feel good? You feeling open? Now, here's the third one. And this one, according to this book on how God changes your brain, is the most powerful. It activates the most parts of your brain that are responsible for reducing stress and having a spiritual experience. And it's as simple as yawning. So, like, this is like, if I had a photographer here taking a picture, this is like the world's worst endorsement of my work. But I'm going to ask you all simultaneously to yawn. So big stretch, big mouth open, yawn, yawn. You know why we yawn? We yawn to wake up. You see a dog first thing in the morning, my dog Bailey, first thing he does when he wakes up, big stretch, big yawn. And even when you find yourself in the second day, third day for some of you of a very long weekend with a lot of information, a lot of times we see the yawn and we think, oh, they're bored. But really, a lot of times that's your brain saying, I need to stay awake. So anytime you want an extra sense of alertness, you want to awaken, You know, of course, we have our social norms, but in here, you're permitted to yawn. Yawn at will, and I will just see it as you taking a moment to enlighten yourself and to listen to that whisper. What if? What if? What if? All right. So how many of you have experienced what-if-upping before? You know what that is. Okay. How many of you have no idea what I'm talking about? Okay, good. So I wrote this book, What If It All Goes Right, because I really was in a quest to understand how do we create our reality. And at the time, I was leading a church in Wimberley. And so as I started researching this book, I went to the Bible, which is my religious tradition. You know, I was raised Christian, and that's where I go. Like, I want to understand this on a spiritual level. So I go to page 1, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. In the beginning, God says, let there be, and there is light. And I'm like, boom, I can stop right there. That's everything I need to know about how to create. Because I was raised thinking that God was the light. God is the joy. God is the abundance. But here, chapter 1, verse 1, the very first sentence, in the beginning, is darkness and chaos and God. And God said, from the darkness and the chaos. So when we are in moments of pain, like Lori talked about, when we are in moments of confusion and we don't know how, we know what we want, we don't know how to get there. When we're in those moments, that Spirit is there as that presence and potential within us to call forth the light and say, let there be light. So I started looking at how do we create, and really it's the same for all of us. Doesn't matter where you came from, whether it's conscious or unconscious, whether you've been to seminars or not. How we create is the same for all of us. I draw it as a cycle, but really, it all happens at the same time. So the way I look at this cycle is at the very top, and you've heard this a lot in a lot of different ways throughout the weekend. At the beginning, I say beginning because to me this one's the easiest to change, is thought. What's going on in my mind? And those thoughts, you've heard this before this weekend as well, are associated with certain feelings. They're kind of like two sides of the same coin. You know, what is the feeling behind the thought? What is the thought behind the feeling? Those feelings, this was really your point of attraction, is feeling. Whatever you're feeling is what's going to inspire you to action or not. Your feelings will inspire you to action or not, depending on what those feelings are. And those feelings are connected to your thoughts. So if your feelings aren't inspiring you to action, you can go back here and change your thoughts. So your thoughts impact your feelings impact your actions impact your reality. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. So how do we get here? How did I get to this place in my life? It's because of the things I thought, the things I felt about that, the actions I took, and here I am. And I love this morning those five questions on, you know, how do you get where you want to be? We were talking about health and fitness this morning. It's true of anything. It's true of abundance. It's true of career. It's true of relationships. It's true of your health. How do you get to the reality that you want? Because you're not there, right? There's always something that we want that is not here. And so we have to figure out how to get back to that new reality. And the new reality, we've never been there before, right? So we have to think different thoughts, feel different feelings, take different actions to get to a new reality. How many of you are very clear that there is something that you want and you know what it is? How many of you know how to get there? Yeah? So you're like, I kind of know. I think I know. There's sort of the sort of, and some of you are like, I don't know. And the cool thing is you don't have to know every single step. What I want to show you today is a process to help you identify the next step, the next inspired step, the next inspired step. Because I tell you, 3-year business plans, I've never seen one that actually turns out the way it started. It's a great process. If you've got one, they're great, but they never end up the same. So how do you get to that reality? It's one step at a time. And the only way we can get to that new reality is by moving through this cycle consciously, moving through this cycle with a sense of awareness. So this process is about introducing consciousness, introducing awareness into this creative, I call this the creative cycle. Now, I start at thought because I think thought of all these is the easiest. But you change one, you change them all. So it really doesn't matter where you start, but I like to start at thought. So we've been given this extraordinary divine gift that allows us to think something we have never thought before. It allows us to stand in darkness and chaos and conceive of something as different as light. And that gift is our guesses. See if you're guessing. Our imagination. One of the greatest gifts we've been given, the ability to see something that isn't there. Now, thank you, God, for my imagination. For some of us, we use it very well. For a lot of us, we use that gift, that God-given gift, to spiral us in the exact opposite direction of the thing that we actually want. Right? What if it doesn't work? What if I don't have the money? What if I don't know how? It's all stemming from your imagination. Your imagination creates all of those what ifs. I call that what if downing. It's when you use your imagination in a counterproductive way. And what I want to teach you today and have you experience today is an experience called what if upping, which allows you to use these two little magic words, what if, and to use them consciously and purposefully to create new possibilities. What if losing my voice was the greatest gift I could be given this weekend? What if maybe I wasn't here to give so much as I was to receive? And what if the only way I could get that, because my call to serve is so strong, was for the universe to say, stop. I have had the most amazing experience of community this weekend because of what I couldn't say. I've had people give to me, you know, I can't even say hello to them, and they're giving me vitamins and sprays and Reiki treatments and tapping and EFT, and people are like giving and prayers. And every time I pass Joe, he's like, sending you love, sending you love. Every time. It's been such an amazing experience for me. What if that's the blessing? What is it for you? What are the possibilities for you? What if is the key that takes us there? So I'm going to give you a little chance to wake up your imagination. By now, I'm sure it's just like really spinning in a powerful way. So I brought here my little black dot. Clearly, this is a little black dot, right? So my question for you and your amazing imagination is, what else could it be? Oh, yes, what else? A target. A racquetball. A hat, a plate. A hockey puck. A button, a cue ball, a mask, a portal, a frisbee. What else?
Money.
Money. I am money. I am money. I am. So our imagination can look at something and it can see endless possibilities. Now, the realist in us might say, really, it's black dot. Come on, let's be real. There are realities in our life. There's the reality of, you know, your cholesterol level. There's a reality of what's in your bank account. There's a reality that shows up on your P&L at the end of the month, right? We have certain realities. But our imagination is what allows us to look at that reality and decide what we want to make that mean. You know, am I going to make it something empowering? Am I going to make it something inspiring? Or am I going to make it something that causes me to feel victimized? So what if is the tool that allows us to do that? Now, here's the thing. Imagination, amazing gift, yes? Say oh yes. Oh yes. Imagination by itself can lead us sort of into some fuzzy areas. So how many of you know people have tons of ideas. All of them positive. All of them happy. All of them great. Ideas, ideas, ideas. You know people like that. Yeah, maybe you are. I'm kind of one of those people. So for people like that, our imagination is just like, oh, I got this one. I got this one. For these people, that's where it's important to come down into this realm, because to introduce consciousness at the point of feeling requires this gift, also a divine gift, called wisdom. Because while imagination has no ending, it is boundless, it's infinite. It can be anything and everywhere all at once, past, present, and future. No limits. If that's all that we've got are all these ideas, we can lose focus. Wisdom is present moment. Wisdom is the whisper. Wisdom is the here and the now and the quiet. Wisdom is the voice that can listen to all the amazing ideas that your magnificent imagination can pump out. And your wisdom is what can say, of all these possibilities, that's the one. For this moment here and now, that's the one. Right? So here's a little game. I call it In My Future. I'm going to say something that could happen in your future. If it sounds like fun, you raise your hand. If it doesn't sound like fun, you know what you do? You don't raise your hand. So it's really easy, easy game. And just listen to your wisdom to raise your hand or not. In my future, I will go to another Joe Vitale event. Yeah, okay. Feel the yes? In my future, I will travel the world. In my future, I will take a cooking class. I like to know who likes to cook. So I do that one's for me mostly. In my future, I will learn to play a musical instrument. In my future, I will learn another language. Oh, lots of you. In my future, I will go on a cruise. In my future, I will write a book. In my future, I will grow my business. Man, I felt an energy surge off of that. That was like, oh, amen, yes. That was a good yes. In my future, I will have a baby. Just checking, guys. Just checking. In my future, I will make a difference in the life of a child. In my future, I will make a difference in my community. Yeah, you feel the universal yes? There are some universal yeses. But for the most part, everyone's wisdom is different. And it's going to guide us in different ways. And that's why the beauty in a community like this, and what I have found as I'm listening to you and how much value, how many of you got tremendous value out of the mastermind experience? Yeah. So what I'm hearing is there's so much value in being able to share ideas. This is how we serve each other, is by sharing ideas. Wisdom is individual. So I can share with you, you tell me what you want, I can share a dozen ideas for how to get there. You are the only one that knows which, if any of those, are right for you. So when you have a coach or you have a mentor, it's important to remember that ultimately your answer is within you. You could take the exact steps that I've taken, and they may not lead you to the same place that they've led me. Your wisdom is going to guide you to your place, so never let go of this. Never give this up to any guru who says, I can show you the XYZ steps. Learn from it, take in the knowledge, and grow from it, but always, 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 always take it into your own wisdom to see what is it that's mine to do. All right, there's some other pieces of this that I'm not going to go into as much detail. I am going to stick around, and now that I'm done, like after I'm done speaking here, I'm going to talk to you guys as much as I want to, because I've decided I am gifting myself with a day in Wimberley tomorrow. I'm just going to be quiet all day tomorrow, so I'm just going to talk all afternoon. So if you have questions, please come see me. But the other pieces of this model, and there's more detail about this in the book, but I just don't have time to go into all the detail, is at this point of action, at the point of action consciously, to come at action from a place of non-attachment, which is kind of ironic because we say, create the vision, set your goals, see the vision, love the vision, be in the vision, but don't get attached to the vision. Because when you get attached to the vision, you break down the flow of ideas and you think it has to happen this way. All right, and then from this place of reality, the most important one is this amazing gift called love. I don't know about you. I've been watching these balloons today. You've been watching the balloons? I've been watching them just as reflectors of, you know, it's amazing to me that any of them are still up, right? Money's up. And what was the orange? Anyone remember what the orange was? For a while there, it was the black and the green, and they were kind of dancing back and forth. So I don't know what that is. But I know that that power of love that you heard about so eloquently yesterday is, that is the power of spirit. My great favorite speaker, mentor, Buckminster Fuller, is quoted as saying that he believes God is a verb, not a noun, proper or improper, that God is a verb. And I think that God is love, not as a noun, but God is love as a verb. It's something that we do. It's something we express. And if you can create a reality of love, if you can create your next reality from this reality that you love, you are a more powerful creator. Does that make sense? If you're creating the next chapter of your life because you hate this chapter, it's not, you're not going to get there. You can't get there from here. The only way to get to a joyful next chapter is to find something to be joyful about in this chapter, even if you would never do it again if you could help it. It may not have been what I would have chosen, but I can find something in this chapter to appreciate. I had a gentleman who was, he wanted a house. And so we were going to brainstorm possibilities for him finding his dream house. And he said, oh yeah, I got to find a house because this house I have now is just awful. It leaks and all, he went all the things that were wrong with this house. I'm like, well, we're not going to brainstorm the new house until we can brainstorm this house. And you can find something to love about the fact that you have a roof over your head. And you have all this amazing time to find the perfect house because of the house you have now. What if you could love where you are now in your life, even if maybe you would have done some things differently? But what if you could appreciate what you've learned from it? So here is how the What If Up process works. And I've shared this with a lot of entrepreneurs. This is like the simplest thing in the world. And there's so many levels of insight that you can get from this. It amazes me every time I do it. So the first thing when you what if up, and we'll do this, you can do this on your own, you can do it with a group. We'll do a little bit with a group. Identify what you want. And that sounds really easy, but it is amazing to me when I ask people, what do you want? So many don't know. And that's okay, because sometimes what you want is clarity. And so it's like, okay, I want clarity. I want clarity around my business. I want clarity around this idea or that idea. But know what you want. Anytime you're in an environment where you're surrounded by so many brilliant people, go in there knowing what you want. I suggest, you're going to have a chance to share this in a mini mastermind with each other. Begin by sharing the big picture. Like, I want to publish a children's book. I've talked to some of you about that. So I want to, let's take that as an example. Let's take an, I'll do an imaginary person. So here's my imaginary friend. His name is? John. His name is John. And John's dream has been to, lifelong dream, always wanted to race cars as a pianist. Piano playing race car driver. All right, so let's take the race car driver. I heard that one first. So we have this guy, John, and he's always wanted to race cars. So that's what he wants. So what he would say is, my name's John, I want to race cars. And then what we'll do it for 2.5 minutes, is surround that idea with possibility. Every idea starts with the words, what if? So John, what if you just do it? What if you just go find a race car and take a lap around and see what it's like? What else? What if you go to driving school? What else? What if you hung out with other drivers? What if you start applying to be a race car driver? What if you do? What if you start by racing go-karts? Yes, what if you get a sponsor? You can race around the world in different locations. I tell you, the coolest thing about being around people like this is you get some really good ideas. You get some really good ideas. So 2.5 minutes, pumping out ideas, 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 ideas. This is not a time to say, oh, I've tried that. I've done go-kart racing. pinches off the flow. Like, you want to get in that flow of ideas. So each of you is going to have a chance to say, here is what I want. It can be what you've just written down, or it can be something else. When you're thinking about what you want, you may want to give just a little tee up of, you know, hey, I'm working on this this book that's for kids, and what I'm wanting is to figure out how to get it to a publisher. When you're thinking of what you want, think about something you can put out there that makes it easy for people to help you. I had a guy once who was some kind of quantum scientist, mechanic, I don't know. He invented some crazy gadget, and he said, I want to, and he said something, and it was like a whole nother language. And so we spent 2.5 minutes saying, well, what if you could communicate what you want in a way that a 12-year-old could understand it? Or a 43-year-old could understand it? You know, what if you could communicate more clearly? So you can create possibility around everything, around everything. You don't need to say, oh, you know, tell me it in a different way. It's good practice to be able to just go with whatever they give you. And you make it easier for people when you're asking for something they can understand and something that they can help you with. This can be something that is a tangible. I want to sell 1 million books. I want to take a cruise around the world. I want to buy a new house. I want to, you know, you name it. It can be stuff. And you may be at a point in your life where you're focused on something else. I've had people say, I want to know what forgiveness is. I want to understand peace. I want to find inner peace. Doesn't matter what you want. What if is a way to help you attract it to yourself. Make sense? All right, do I have anyone to be willing to volunteer just to get a little example of how this works? Oh, come on up. First hand I see. Round of applause. By the way, do you know why we applaud before she comes up? Send light. Greater than what she says and what she shares is that she's raised her hand. That's what we acknowledge, is that she raised her hand. And that takes courage. So a round of applause. Thank you. Tell me your name. Tanya. All right, so Tanya, what do you want? And we will throw out some what-ifs for you.
I want to be a highly paid, well-booked speaker and author.
Clear? Yeah, give her a round of applause. That's powerful. She not only knows what she wants, she knows what she wants. So let's share some. Yeah. Hey, so take a deep breath in.
Can someone take a picture, please, and email it to me?
And we'll tell them that I'm your volunteer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's speaking, and I'm just volunteering. So this is your moment. So get some other what-ifs. What if you find a mentor? Good.
I would love one.
Here's the key.
Okay.
When people share ideas, and I'm so glad this is nice to have a real person to do this, because your temptation is you're going to want to engage in conversation. You're going to want to validate that idea because you're a kind and generous person, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So instead, just let it in. If you are compelled, you must speak and say something. Must say something. Just say thank you. That lets the ideas come. Thank you. Thank you. Someone says, why don't you go bungee jumping? Thank you. Why don't you jump out of a plane? Thank you. That would be great. Great.
Yeah. No killer phrases.
Give thanks for the ideas, because ideas like to bring friends. And if you aren't friendly to your ideas, they don't bring their friends along with them. So say thank you for all ideas. Other what ifs?
Toastmasters.
Wow. What if you joined Toastmasters? What was the one from back here? What if you got my contact information?
Thank you.
What if?
Thank you. What if?
Happens all the time. Any others? What if you create a picture board so you can see yourself and you put on there all the places where you want to speak? So we would do this for 2.5 minutes. One more. Yeah, what if you get started and you start building testimonials and you start building up video reels? What if it starts like today? What if out of you volunteering here, someone says, you know what? I need a speaker to speak about
entrepreneurship.
And boom, there you go. What if it begins right here, right now? Wow. How you feeling?
Very good.
Very
I appreciate
good.
It.
All
Thank
right,
you.
Give a round of applause. That's how it works.
you. All right. So I'm going to give you some time to do this. We're going to do this in really small groups, just given the time. Normally when I do this, we'll do groups of anywhere between 6 and 8. So if you want to go back, if you are going back to your mastermind group, or if you have a mastermind group somewhere else and you want to use this process, any size group works. You can actually do this by yourself. So if you just want to like write down, here's what I want, and then brainstorm, what if, that's powerful too. But I tell you, when two or more are gathered, there is an energy that is present that is beyond what we can do by ourselves. And that's why it's important to come to things like this. Yes? Say, oh, yes. Oh, yes. So you're going to have an opportunity to go into groups. We're going to do groups of either 3 or 4. The coolest thing about Joe's events, well, I don't know. There's so many cool things. One of my favorite things is you get to roll around on the chairs. Don't you love chairs that have wheels that you can like have chair races and spin around and things like that? So you have chairs with wheels, I can't help but notice, which is going to make it very easy for you to kind of scoot around and create either a triangle or a little mini circle with either 3 or 4 people. So when I say go, I know you're all preparing, you're so good. When I say go, oh, don't make me talk loud. When I say go, what you'll do is move into your group. If you don't have 4, keep a hand up so people can find you until you have 4. When you have 4, take your hand down, and that way people can find groups easier. All right? Take 30 seconds to make that happen. Go. Don't start yet. Just find your group. Just find your group. There's one over there. If you've got less than 4, hold your hand up if you have less than 4. All right, we got a space over here. We got a space over there. All right. Bring your focus over here. It's like magic, isn't it? I love this thing. So anytime you hear that, it means it's my turn to talk. So anytime you hear this, it means pause your conversation, which is going to get harder and harder because the ideas are going to start flowing like you can't even imagine. It's going to be so cool. But when you hear this, it means pause, and I'll give you your next instructions. So right now, recognize that you don't have instructions yet, right? So there's nothing to start, there's nothing to do. If you're thinking, I don't know what I'm doing, that's good because I haven't told you what to do. If you have more than, if you have less than 3 or more than 4, raise your hand. Any group that has, how many do you have? You've got 5. How many have? 5. How many got? You have 5. Okay, so we got 3 groups of 5. Let's take one person from each group and create a group of 3. You got roller chairs, so it'll be really fun. And there's some chairs over here. You can sort of move to a new area. Over here, what have you got? You've got 2? Is there another group of 5? Any other groups of 5? You got 5 over there? Let's take 1 to that group of 2 in the back, if you don't mind moving. This is a chance to get to meet new people. In fact, let me just ask you, as people are moving about, question. How many of you are sitting more or less in the same seat that you've been sitting in all weekend long? So this is a great opportunity to mix it up a little bit, right? One of the greatest things that you can get out of an event like this, I mean, the speakers are obviously, everyone has just been so phenomenal. And what I've been hearing from a lot of you is that it's your time together, meeting other people that are here. There is tremendous wisdom here. And if you spend the whole time, I see, I'm like this too. I do this too. I find my little chair in my little buffer zone with all the empty chairs around me. That's the temptation, right? We don't want to step outside the comfort zone. But when you do, when you come on to an event like this, part of the value you get is from your interactions with others. So seize that. Be proactive in that. Are there any groups that have less than 3 or more than 4? Yes? You've got 5. Any other groups have less than 3 or more than 4? All right, if I could have one group of three, any groups of three? Okay, can I send one of you back right behind you? That's really super easy. Chairs have wheels, so just roll them around. All right. Well done. And this is important. I wouldn't make a big deal out of it unless it's really important in terms of the timing so that everybody gets a turn. Okay. So, one person from each group, raise your hand. One person from each group, raise your hand. Point to your right, say, this person goes first. Okay, I'm playing with you now. So, whoever's going first, here's what you do. You share what you want. You don't share the story about how long you've wanted it and all the things you've tried. And when I was 2 years old, I dreamed of driving race cars. Skip the story. You don't need it. It takes up your time. What do you want? You don't need to justify it. You don't need any reason at all. What do you want? And then as soon as that person says what they want, I want to race cars, I want to play the piano, whatever it is, for the remainder of that 2.5 minutes, the people that are in your group are going to share what-if ideas. Now, it's your dream, so you can what-if yourself also. Don't just kind of go passive on them, right? So you engage in your own possibilities as well. So all of you, for 2.5 minutes, as many what-ifs as you can. Now, here's a few guidelines. They're actually rules, but I'll call them guidelines because no one likes rules. Skip the story. This is not anything that it needs to add to your task list, so don't get overwhelmed by this. You don't have to do anything with any of these ideas. There's no accountability on this. There's no follow-up. If you never take action on any of these ideas, that's totally okay. As you're hearing the ideas, listen to your wisdom. Listen for the ideas that make you say yes. Listen to the ideas that are like, interesting. And listen to the ideas that are like, no, I definitely don't want to do that. But when you hear the idea, just say thank you. So process your own wisdom. Usually there's one or two that are so clearly inspiring to you that the rest don't matter. Because all you need is the next step, right? So focus on the ones, that's inspired action. Focus on the ones that get you most excited. All right, if there is what I call a conversation lull, if there is silence, take it as a challenge to get even more wild. These don't have to be realistic ideas. Sometimes the crazy ideas can lead to the brilliance. Avoid the temptation to call on people. Don't ever call on people. I had someone once who was so uncomfortable in the silence in their group that they're like, you, give me an idea. And that person was like, oh, an idea, I want one. And all the ideas kind of scurried and ran away. So this is an organic process. Let the ideas flow. And I see all of you like, oh, such good students, like with your notepad ready to go. If you have a smartphone that will record, that is preferable to writing because this is a right brain creative activity. Writing is a left brain activity. So if you're writing, it's really hard to engage that right creative part of your brain. If you can record it or if you have someone in your group that can record it, that's preferable. I always tell people, the idea that you're meant to remember, you will remember. So we'll go for 2.5 minutes, and then we'll pause. And in that pause, we're going to move into a moment of silence. So during that moment of silence, if you've got something and you're like, it's just burning, like that's the idea, I got to write it down, that's your time. If you want to use that time just to go within and discern, that's your time. And if you're the one who has been brainstorming, it wasn't your idea, but you've been supporting, that silence is a time for you to hold that vision as true for that person. Hold the energy of that vision being realized. And notice what's coming up from you in giving as well as receiving. Make sense? All right. So first person, remember that you are going to share what you want for 2.5 minutes. What if, what if, what if, what if, what if, as many as you can. Ready? At the end of 2.5 minutes, we'll hear my bell. All right, begin.